Why do you persistently break your phone or tablet any make or model? Why do you persistently damage the speaker or screen or ports of these expensive and valuable devices? Are you angry at me? I didn't do anything, don't make this about me. You've clearly got some kind of problem, Missy. This isn't an advertisement, this is an intervention. You need help, and luckily I know just the mustache to give it. Well, it's not really a mustache, that's just a logo. Listen to the ad. Mr. Mustache's Phone Repair. You can find them at 124 Townsend Street, downtown Midland in Michigan. They've got the sweet, sweet nerd skills you need to repair your device after you got drunk and stomped on it or whatever. I don't need to hear your explanations, man. And that's not what you're here for. You need somewhere to repair your phone that you stomped on when you were drunk. And I'm telling you, get to Michigan. I don't care if you live in Michigan or not. That's not my problem. My problem is just getting you to the right guy to repair your phone. That's Mr. Mustache's Phone Repair.
Authors and Dragons!
Time of magic, age of might. A band of heroes step up to the fight. Playing with powers they don't understand. Will they fuck it all up or will they save the land?
Treachery!
Combined, a group of fantasy authors take on a sadistic games master. Will they survive? I don't know. I'm not your mother.
Authors and Dragons! Authors and Dragons!
Hey, everybody. I'm John Hartness, and I'll be playing the role of Fandingo the Fantastical, Bard of All Trades, and Master of Rock! In real life, I write multiple series, including Bubba the Monster Hunter, Quincy Harker Demon Hunter, The Black Knight Chronicles, and I am the founder and publisher of Falstaff Books.
Hi, I'm Joseph Brassi. I play the role of Bjorg Bjornsson, enthusiastic and violent barbarian. I was an author on the Mongoliad books. My novels Skyfarer and Dragon Road can be found from Angry Robot Books and anywhere books are sold. And I am the author of such non-existent titles as Whipcock Smart, the story of one man solving math problems with his snake dick.
Hey, everyone. My name is Rick Qualtieri and I play Silas Kane, overly enthusiastic paladin of Toreg. In real life, I write several things, but let's not talk about me tonight. Let's talk about a certain someone called Cara Vance, who I definitely am not. She has a new audiobook out there for The Necromancer's Wife, narrated by Aaron Tighe. You should go check it out.
Hello, friends. My name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, the notorious rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy fantasy novels and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures. The most recent book has Critical Failures 9, No Holds Barred, has just gone live on Audible, so go get that.
Hey there, I'm Steve Weverell, and I play Brandon Fymaster, sexually attractive monk. In real life, I write the Doomsayer Journeys and other books such as Shoot the Dead and Far Into the Dark, and The Totally Legend of Brandon Fymaster. You can go check those out on the internet.
Hey everybody, I am Drew Hayes, the Dungeon Master, the guide in this trek across Shit Mountain, and author of books such as Superpowers, NPCs, Fred the Vampire Accountant, Villain's Code, 5-Minute Sherlock, and Secondhand Curses. The latest of which will be Spell Swords and Self number 5, coming out in the Q1 of 2022, so sometime within the nebulous next few months. But when last we left our intrepid adventurers, they had been, I don't know, like rooting around a cave, talking to a deer guy, they met Hungra, they bought some stuff, you know, it was a pretty productive one. So why don't we flash back on into that with Fandingo?
A pretty productive one, they say, as Klaus sails down the river by himself.
Indeed.
I'm looking for traps.
All right.
So Klaus is on a, let's call it an expedited river journey.
Hang on, I made a note.
So, and as a reminder, Fandingo, you have no bonus action for the next 5 rounds.
Right.
Yeah, I made a note too about Klaus. Ha ha.
This will be twice that Silas has let him die.
He's not dead yet.
There's a difference between watching him die and letting him die.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little more just generalized incompetence than targeted.
I just want to say that technically last time he was, you know, not dead yet when you made that decision too.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's pretty fair. So, does Klaus have a rope tied around him?
I believe I so, I'm but just I also it. Believe it's in the water.
Yes, yeah. But I have a mage hand that is floating around that can lift.
Okay.
That can lift 10 pounds, and the end of a rope weighs less than 10 pounds.
That is accurate.
I want to tell my mage hand to get the rope and hand it to Bjork because he's strong.
I feel like that should be some level of dexterity check to grab a rope out of a rushing river, but. In fairness, it's a mage hand, so roll a check. It's just sort of a proficiency check, really. What's your spellcasting modifier?
+4.
I meant
charisma.
Like charisma. All right, so yeah, give me charisma plus proficiency.
So 16.
All right, yeah, that's good enough. You can snag the end of the rope with your mage hand and pluck it out of the water. Momentarily. It is moving, of course, as Klaus is moving, so you can expect it to be yanked out on his turn.
Well, if I kind of drop it near Bjork, hopefully he'll get a reaction and be able to move and get it.
Hopefully.
We will certainly find out. Klaus, you are going to be pushed down the river.
Okay, I would like to make an attempt to... Oh, I'm going that way.
Yep. So you're going that way, and you smash against the thing you're going to take. Well, first off, let's have Bjorg roll his reaction.
All right, so what kind of check am I making?
Dex check.
Dex check, okay. Just get my sheet.
Technically, we'll say it's a dex save, so that if you get proficiency for that, it's added.
And that is, hold on, a 15.
Yeah, we will say that's enough to snag the thing.
I gotcha.
Well, roll me a strength check. Let's see if you can... That's enough to grab it. Let's see if you can hold it and Klaus.
Okay.
There's different thresholds of success and failure on this one.
All right, big guy. I did my part.
We'll just keep it, but, you know, add your athletics roll. So you got a 15... Or you rolled an 11.
That's an 8.
What's your athletics bonus?
Athletics bonus is 8. So, yeah, that's a 19.
Okay, that is enough that you can successfully hold on to the rope.
Pull yourself back!
Start.
What's the length on that rope, Klaus?
It's a standard 50-foot rope.
So that is going to lessen the damage because Bjorg is pulling you taut. You will slam into the crystals on the edge, but not nearly so hard. You take 2 damage.
Ouch.
And your movement has become arrested between the pulling of Bjorg and then the smashing of the crystals. You're going to have a chance to grab onto the edge, but now you are just... You're momentarily stationary for this round. And you have an action if you want to try to, like, pull yourself up some.
Yeah, I'll do that. Well, up the rope, you mean?
Yes.
All right, what check is that? Is that strength or athletics or what?
Athletics.
14.
Okay, we will say that is enough to move you... We'll give you 10 feet with that.
Yay.
All right. Brandon Thymaster.
I think I'm blissfully unaware of all this. Silas has wandered into a cave, which I'm sure is fine. The other guys are doing something. I remember that Hungra wanted some crystals. So I'm going to use both my move actions to go visit that filthy hermit. Guy.
Yeah, you have super monk speed and jumping, so I'm pretty sure you can get there.
Yeah, without just gonna hop across that river, providing there's no like crystal hippo that tries to eat me or something. Should be fine.
That would be the most awesome monster ever.
Just sort of casually look at Klaus as he struggles in the current like a not monk, shake my head and move on.
I'm water skiing.
You about to be when Bjorg yanks the end of that rope.
More like elfletics, I shout before I move on. Just a casual racism. Yeah, and if I have any turn left at all, I will offer the crystal to Hungra.
I think it's going to take you a dash to get all the way over there.
Okay.
Monk speed or no, because you can't go directly across. You got to back all the way around.
I will prepare for the good feeling that selfless generosity is sure to bring me.
All right. Well, Bjorg, it is your turn. Would you like to make a strength check to try and pull Klaus forward?
Yeah, I'll try to.
Sorry, athletics check.
I will try to haul Klaus. That's a 26.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
Come on!
How much does he have left? So that's 5, 10. Yeah, you haul him up onto land with a 20, with a 26.
There you go!
Bjorg is just, like, free-spinning that thing on his wrists.
Thank you, friend.
Klaus, you almost water ski.
Now stop falling in the river.
You're welcome, Klaus. You're welcome.
All right. Let's get moving.
Well, all right.
Speaking of, the man in the lead, Silas Kane. You're up.
Well, since I have no idea what the others are doing, nor do I really care, but I do have a pickaxe I just bought, so I will step to the wall and start engaging in some back-breaking labor.
Okay. Roll me an athletics check.
A 14.
All right. You slam the pickaxe into the wall a few times and begin to gouge out a small section of it.
It's a really fucked up episode of Stardew Valley.
You all know Klaus is going to breed with one of them cows, right?
Mm.
Now we're on letter, Kenny.
And Fandango, it's your turn. Oh, let's lower your counter by one. You only have 4 rounds left of no bonus.
I'm going to do a double move and go all the way around and get to the edge over here.
Alrighty.
And since I don't get a bonus action, I'll just hang out.
Klaus, you are dripping but on dry land.
Hooray. Well, since... I don't know, I hear Silas up there doing something stupid and Brandon's running the wrong way. So I'll take some time and I'll go investigate these little crystal rubbles down over here.
All right.
That's an investigation. Okay. Did that not? Oh, natural 20.
All right. These are discarded little chunks of crystal that has been mined or eaten. It's like little kind of hunks and remnants. There's no flicker of glow or life to them. They are just purely kind of pieces of shiny rock.
I'm glad your time in the river has rekindled your interest in rocks.
I it was rekindled on the other side.
Well, you know, I'm just glad you've got a hobby again that doesn't involve masturbating.
I don't know. I might go back to masturbating after.
No, not when you're near me. 20.
There's no guarantee that his interest in rocks does not involve masturbating.
There's almost more guarantee it will.
I don't want to know this.
Technically, Drew did say he was already dripping.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hate to waste this bout of slipperiness. All right, well, that's my turn.
All right. Brandon Thighmaster.
Hey there, Hunger. I remembered that you were unpleasant. And also, that you are jonesing for some crystals. And because I don't understand human compassion very well, I'm going to give you that which you want but might not need. Here you go, buddy.
All right, how many crystals did you have?
I have 2, but I'm going to give him 1. Test of water.
All right. He will gladly accept, kind of sniff it, and then like take a big bite out of one section, kind of chew thoughtfully. Mmm. You looking for a crystal guardian? Was that your...
That's right, we are. I knew we were here for something.
You know, Hungra might have seen a particularly big shard. Couldn't get to it, but Hungra saw up ahead through the caves, past waterfall. You might find what you're looking for.
And he finishes off that crystal.
Oh. That's quite coherent. I guess some people just are better on drugs.
Most people.
I'll flip him another crystal.
He will snatch and he'll take a bite.
And you know, in the cavern of the waterfall, you might find that there are some particular boulders. Boulders that behave strangely. I would recommend keeping a certain amount of distance from some, but there's also crystalline clusters under them, so it's a give and repeat, but just be ready if you get near them.
Well, thank you, Hunger.
He takes another bite. Delectable.
Thank you very much for the insight, Hunger. You might want to use this manic episode to clean your kitchen, or, you know, see a social worker.
Yes, I will certainly give the idea much consideration, he says as he keeps gnawing on the crystal.
Ah, great. I think I've made a real difference here. Feels good.
All right. Bjorg.
Yeah, Bjorg is going to move to where Fandango is, just kind of look out and look out across the water and go,
what now?
I mean,
you can very clearly see Silas hitting a wall. You have a direct line of sight to him.
That's thought-provoking.
How you feel about piggyback rides, big guy?
Why?
Why not?
He wants to give you one.
Fine, up on my back across the river.
All right. I didn't expect that to work.
Not how I hoped that was going to play out.
Do I have enough movement to get across?
I'm
assuming you can't walk. You can't walk on these crystals.
No, these are all decorative crystals. Also, Fandango definitely doesn't have enough movement to get on your back this turn.
Okay, cool. I'll just wait then. I can always I can always throw him across.
That is an option.
Hey now.
Right into the hammering pickaxe of Silas, whose turn it is.
I'm just pickaxing away.
Athletics.
Natural one.
Roll me a d20.
12.
All right. So you come all the way back for a big swing, and you hear like a ting as you realize you have pressed it into a joint on your armor and very nearly stabbed yourself, and you're so surprised that you swing wild and completely miss the wall. But you don't damage yourself or your pickaxe. You just have a moment of almost embarrassment. Well, a moment of embarrassment and realizing you almost hurt yourself.
Would Silas truly be embarrassed by that, though?
Yeah, fair enough.
No matter how much I try, Silas is impossible to humiliate.
I'm actually embarrassed that I didn't hurt myself.
Well, that's what a natural one gets you. You don't succeed in any capacity. Even masochism.
I just can't stop seeing Silas as like a really fucked up SCV from StarCraft.
All right, Fandango, it is your turn.
Yeah, I want to just climb on Bjork's back and get ready to go.
All right, roll me in athletics just to see how good your grip is.
Probably not very. 14.
14 is not bad at all.
14 is not bad.
That's respectable.
Nope. Klaus.
I, Robert Bevan, am looking around my garage, and I don't have a pickaxe, but I kind of wish I did. So, I'm going to go up to this guy here. Hello, friend.
Hello.
I understand you have pickaxes for sale.
Sure do.
You live in the fantasy experience.
I'm in a pickaxe kind of mood.
Oh, God, I think it was like around 3 gold last time, so...
Okay.
3 gold.
I'm feeling better about things now. Life is going the right way.
All right. You have purchased a regular pickaxe. Please deduct 3 gold.
Deducted, and I'm adding the pickaxe to my inventory as soon as pickaxe I remember how.
Can I also buy a new war heater and an adjustable spanner? Live the dream.
Can I get just so many screws? Like... too many screws, because I know I'm going to lose a lot of them and say, fuck, why didn't I buy more screws?
Do you have a drawer with things in it that I probably won't need but feel like I might one day?
I need 3 sizes of hammers. Don't ask me why. I can't explain, but I need 3 sizes of hammers.
This is not the time to go into how many sizes of adjustable wrench I own.
I need... a rubber mallet and a Dremel. These things may or may not be related.
I have a rubber mallet. I don't have a Dremel.
I've got one, but I haven't opened it.
I've always wanted one. I don't know for what.
I have one, and I've had it for like 5 years, and I've used it maybe once.
Hey, for the sake of the listeners who might not know, what's a Dremel?
It's like a vibrator that spins, and you attach little things that cut things and polish things on. I guess it's maybe more like a drill that spins.
That sounds excruciating.
Yeah, in many ways, not like a vibrator at all.
Yeah.
It's like a vibrator, but it cuts you.
It's a man vibrator.
It's a Silas Kane vibrator. Yeah.
Good to know for the listeners. all right, Klaus buys a pickaxe. We're back to Brandon Thighmaster.
Maybe I should go buy some home insurance. Okay, I'm going to use my move, my monk move, to take me back where I was. Bye, Hungra. Enjoy the rest of your existence.
Farewell, good friend. Farewell. And do return to my company should you discover any more of these delectable tidbits.
I will. You're a lot more pleasant when you're in the thralls of whatever crippling addiction you have. And,
wow.
End my turn.
We keep it light here on Authors and Dragons. So, Brandon has enabled an addict, and Bjorg.
To progress the plot, Drew.
And Bjorg, you have a monkey on his back.
Yeah. Bjorg, I need an athletics from you to see how good your grip on Fandango is.
Okay. 27.
What's your strength score?
18.
Yeah, even with some penalty for Fandango, you still have enough that if you do a running jump, you can definitely clear it with him.
All right, gonna do that.
Whee!
Welcome to the other side.
We broke on through.
You did? And you both had high enough athletics that you land without issue. He's not on the edge, so there's no acrobatics. Yeah, Bjorg, you land, and you know what? For funsies, you can even use the rest of your action to set Fandango down.
Gonna do that.
All right. Yeah. I was fine to just hang out up there.
Yeah, but whatever. Yes, but
here, actually, I'll move you in there. Sets you inland.
Yeah, not putting him down in the water.
just throw him back.
Surprised you aren't.
Hey, Fandango, you remember all those fireballs?
We call this a water ball. It's also,
oh, God.
It's Quench. Also called a river.
Sounds like you're going to waterboard him with your nutsack.
Well, we call that Friday.
if anyone could, Barbarian Bjorg might be in the running. God help us all. Silas, yeah, you're the happy change of topic.
Well, now that everybody's starting to catch up, I will put the pickaxe away with zero comment, and I will start heading further down the tunnel. Do I see anything of interest here?
Rocks and little crystals poking out, same as most of these tunnels have been.
I will stand there then with the rest of my other move action and judge these crystals of sin.
You glare at them very efficiently. And Ningo, you are down to two rounds with no bonus action.
Alrighty. I'm going to take my full movement and go ahead and do a dash. And I mean, I can get off the map.
Okay.
So
then you can advance. The tunnel just continues kind of the same little snaking way for a bit.
I go there.
All right. You have reached the edge of the map, but not the edge of the tunnel. Klaus.
I would like to test out my new acquisition. I'm going to go up right here, just a little bit past the pickaxe salesman, and I'm going to pickaxe some of these crystals on the wall.
All right, roll me an athletics check.
I have some crystals. 10.
Not great, but you are attacking a pretty exposed source, so you knock off a few of the kind of the lifeless dead crystals that fall to the ground and kind of chip on impact.
These crystals suck.
They do. They are shitty crystals. There's a reason everybody's left them.
Okay. Do I have movement left?
Yeah, that was probably an action.
All right, I'll just move a couple more spaces here and prepare to jump.
Brandon Thighmaster.
I will take both of my move action to catch up with the guys. While I do so, I will exposit loudly about the information that Hunger has gave me. Hey guys, I was talking to Hunger, and he said that there's a giant shard, etc., etc., etc. Just pretend that I roleplayed that.
Yeah, I understand.
Just pretend we listened to you.
Oh no, I'm sure that when you mess with one of these boulders we're not supposed to, you're going to genuinely forget what I said at this point, so we won't need to pretend. That's normally how it works.
Alright, Bjorg, you are up.
Alright, let's see. I guess I'm going to just keep exploring the tunnels.
Alright.
He's going to make his way forward, because he did not get a pickaxe, and...
I love how we all just assume that Klaus will cross the river safely this time.
I was just...
I was thinking that myself.
Y'all just immediately bailed out on him.
Even though he stubbornly hasn't every time he's attempted it.
If he falls into the river again, he'll scream and then I'll come back.
If he dies, he dies.
Says the guy who just abandoned him.
We didn't hear him last time.
I didn't know Klaus was my responsibility.
I mean, Bjorg hasn't double moved yet.
Nope.
Silas.
I will catch up to the others.
That brings us back to Fandango. You may continue deeper into the tunnels. It won't show it on the map, but you can also hang out and wait for the others to catch up. Or, you know, whatever you want. This is your last round without a bonus action.
I mean, the other... Brandon and Silas are pretty much right there with me, so... I'll just wait for Bjorg, and then maybe... Between now and then, Silas will get lost in the 5 feet that separate us, and we can go right along. So I'll just hang out.
All right. Klaus, it is your turn.
Well, given the history of this tunnel, I have to assume that somebody is waiting just beyond that little point where I can't see. So I will get a running start, leap, and throw my rope.
Right, what is your strength score?
I think it's a 10, but let me double check. Yes, it's a 10.
You, sir, are fortunate. That is enough to leap this gap.
Yay.
So you throw your rope and it smacks into the wall as you come landing down on the other side. Boop.
Ah, thank you, friends.
Oh, his lonely words echo around the cavern.
that's the kind of blind faith that Tor likes to see.
If y'all are planning on just continuing on the tunnels, we don't have to move everyone through this bit by bit since y'all have all crossed.
I do want I want to take one whack at that place where Silas was pickaxing, just because it would be satisfying if I found something that he'd missed.
All right, roll me athletics.
Oh, natural one.
roll me a d20.
11.
Much like Silas, you swing back too far, feel the pickaxe press into your shoulder blades, and then panic and swing wild.
All right, this wall is dangerous.
I mean, it kind of seems that way, yeah. That's what the dice have decided.
That guy sold us some faulty pickaxes.
All right, I'll follow along with everyone else.
All right, you all move through the caverns for a bit. You kind of continue through the little twisty tunnel. You start to hear a rumbling sound. And not long afterward...
Bjorg lets out a tremendous fart. Or is it a different rumbling sound?
You all arrive at a waterfall. One note, that although the space below it on the map is dark, there is water there. It was just a real pain to try and color in the map with the way the layers are worked. So, there is water. It's just, you know, implied. It's real dark. It's real dark
looks,
water.
Looks pretty scary.
Yeah. Y'all have been in the tunnel for a bit. Why don't we go ahead and roll fresh initiative?
Klaus rolls a 7.
Silas rolls a 6.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 13.
Bjorg rolls a 13.
Fandango rolls a 3.
Some shit initiatives.
Brandon and Bjorg, both of y'all roll me d20s.
4.
19.
All right, Bjorg is going ahead of Brandon. And that means that Bjorg is going first.
It seems like my hurried exposition might actually be relevant to this room, so just to... reiterate what Hunger said. He saw something about a large shard near the waterfall, and to be careful of the boulders around here, even though there are crystals near said boulders.
Just reference past. He said it was past the waterfall.
Alright, excellent. Bjorg is going to walk forward into the cavern and take a look around.
All right, roll me a perception.
That's a 9.
You see rocks and a big-ass waterfall.
There's a waterfall in here! It's loud!
He's not wrong.
What?
All right, Brandon.
Okay, I guess we keep going past this waterfall and don't mess with the boulders, even though there might theoretically be untold riches scattered around them.
Maybe they're vulnerable to pickaxes.
Wait. Riches?
And I will walk casually away after saying that.
Just throw the grenade in the room and leave.
Yeah.
Leaving the two greediest and one stupidest member of the party behind together. Yeah.
I'm sure this will be fine.
This will go great. It'll be fine.
Be not so hard on yourself, my friend.
All right, Brandon, so far you've used a move.
I will, I guess, test out this bridge with my monk agility.
You're going to need a perception to notice the bridge first.
Oh, okay. I guess that's the first step in testing out the bridge. Check to see if there is a bridge.
None of y'all have yet to notice the bridge.
Perception. 21.
There we go. All right. So, Brandon, you notice the waterfall, the water darkly coursing below it. You see boulders and kind of crystal growths all through. You do notice that there is a bridge kind of fashioned to two extremely large crystal clumps. They do appear kind of cracked, just like most of the ones that are sticking out of the walls. And the bridge itself seems pretty eroded. With a 21 perception, you would estimate that it is perhaps not in the best condition. And may or may not hold for the entirety of the party. So that's something that you are aware of. Past that, you can see more, I guess, kind of paths and caverns on the other side. But that would be everything in your visual range.
I will say, confident that nobody can probably hear me over the waterfall, anyone who isn't a monk might have some trouble with this bridge.
What?
Bjorg, you are standing next to him. You're the only one who can.
You shouldn't harass the boulders, and you should be careful on this bridge and maybe look for an alternative path. I will say, quietly, under my breath.
What?
Okay, now it's right. All right, Klaus.
With my keen elven hearing, I'm certain I heard somebody say, harass the boulders. 1, 2,
perfect.
3, 4. Ah. Do I see the boulder directly to the south of me?
Roll my perception. Let's see what you see.
15.
All right. You see waterfall. You notice the rickety bridge. You don't get as much of a assessment of it. And yes, you can certainly notice that there is a boulder to your south.
Well, I shall take my friend's advice and shoot it.
You may do that next turn.
Oh, okay.
All right, Silas.
All right, we'll head out here, and I will take a look around.
Give me that perception, baby.
4.
Oh, man, you are just really into that waterfall. You are staring into its depths. It's beautiful, glistening depths, and that is the entirety of what you register.
What an empty wit cave.
Wow.
Fandango.
Ignoring everything that is Silas, I'm going to move over to here. And hey, guys, what do we know about this cave?
It is empty and wet.
You should never say that again. Brandon, what do you know about this cave?
Well, it ain't full and dry.
Wow!
This is what happens when all your friends are assholes. Then I guess I'll be making a perception check.
Roll it up. Oh.
Nat 20.
All right. With a nat 20, Fandango, you can see the waterfall. You can see the bridge. You can see its unstable condition. You definitely have a sense that it might not hold for everybody. So, you know, that's something to a factor to keep in mind. You see Klaus eyeing a boulder and his crossbow. Yeah, you Yeah, you see pretty much everything. In fact, you, with the line of sight y'all have, I think you can just make out like the light of another tunnel across with a nat 20. So yeah, you get a great look at the cave.
Klaus, if you will not do anything stupid for the next 30 seconds, I can get you and me all the way out of here. And that way we don't have to go across the rickety-ass bridge and maybe die. But only if you stay next to me and don't A, touch your privates, B, touch my privates, C, do anything that's going to get me killed.
No worries.
Let's see what you do with your turn in information.
So this bridge might not hold all of us. I'm the heaviest, so...
If you like, I could tie a rope around myself, do my monk thing, get across there with ease and grace, and maybe tie the rope somewhere. Might help.
That might help, yes, let's do that. Otherwise, we're just stuck here, looking at rocks.
Oh no, just you, pal, because he can walk on in water, Klaus, and I can teleport me and Klaus, and dipshit's got that misty step thing, so...
Alright.
Tie her up to me, big guy.
I will do that.
Roll me a... We've been using survival for rope tying.
23.
Oh, wow. All right. You tie a excellent knot.
All right, let's do this. Best survival check we've done in 6 years.
It may be, yeah.
Genuinely. It's a damn contender. All right. That wraps up Bjork's turn and brings us to Brandon.
All right. I will step with confidence out onto this death trap. Use a double movement, which I think will get me.
Mark your path as you go, and then roll me an acrobatics check for once you're on the bridge.
Okie dokie. I will roll an acrobatics. 25.
Alright. You can continue across the bridge. As you move, you notice that it sways and bends. However, because you are such a dexterous monk, you are able to cross with minimal amount of momentum imparted, doing very little measurable damage to the bridge.
Excellent. Good to know. Yeah, I should be able to get to this hopefully slightly safer end of the bridge.
All right, so you're ending your turn on the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll wave back. This is fine.
Perfect.
All right, and that brings us to Klaus. Was Brandon the smart one for getting away?
Now that we're out of danger, I'll shoot the boulder.
Awesome.
God damn it.
Roll me an attack.
24.
Oh, yeah, you definitely hit. Roll me damage.
8.
Okay. You shoot into the boulder, which turns out to be not as tough as you might have thought. There's a bit more clay in this composite than appearances might have led you to believe. And in fact, as you fire in and knock off a big old chunk of it, you see a glittering crystal poking out, and unlike the ones on the wall, this one has a little bit of light to it, a little bit of flicker, like the ones that the gentleman in the tent was selling and Hungra ate.
Is it the boulder monster's member?
Well, you'll have to uncover more to find out.
Okay. I'd like to use my movement to run behind Bjorg.
All right.
Wait.
Silas.
I was really hoping Klaus would try to use sharpshooter and then miss the boulder, but oh well.
Dare to dream.
Well, I'm going to try to make my way onto the bridge.
All right. Silas, you wear heavy plate, right?
No, I wear studded leather.
Okay.
No, you're talking about a real paladin wearing plate.
All right. Okay. All right.
He has plate armor, but it's just crushed cans of beans riveted to his
head. We finally reached a point where I've had to start looking up the weight of armor. Okay, so I will need an acrobatics, just like with Brandon. And please mark your path as you go.
All right. So my plan is to get to about here and then misty step the rest of the way.
Yeah, misty's a bonus.
I wanted to make sure I had spell slots left.
Ah, yes.
All right.
After your Christmas battle, that is a very reasonable concern.
So let's mark the path. And you said acrobatics?
Yeah, acrobatics once you have hit the bridge.
9.
Ooh, buddy.
There is a rope.
Yeah, there is. Roll me a dexterity save.
24.
Okay. So Silas, as soon as you step onto the bridge, you take a very mighty, bold paladin, you know, kick the door down, let every motherfucker in the room know you're there. That's the kind of step you take onto this bridge. And that's the kind of step that sends your legs straight through that shitty wood. But you are able to kind of grab on and balance yourself enough that you are steady. But your leg is jammed through the front part of the bridge currently.
All right. Well, I can still misty step out of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As long as you can get there.
Misty step to this square right here.
All right, and...
Watch out, there's a loose board back there. I found it for you.
We're now marking that when people step onto the bridge, initially they will have to roll acrobatics at a disadvantage.
You're welcome.
Everybody wants to be the rogue.
Fandango.
All right, Klaus. You want to just nope right the fuck out of here and go to the exit of the cave, or do you want to try and dick with the bridge?
This looks like it takes finesse and care. Let's let the barbarian do it.
I can't teleport the barbarian. He's too big. But I can dimension door me and Klaus, because Klaus is my size or smaller.
I wanted to dick with the boulder monster, but...
I think it's medium creature. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
But yeah, if you want to leave the angry boulder monster for Bjork, that's fine.
Alright, then I'll grab on to Klaus and dimension door to the exit over here on the other side, next to this thing that's... I'm going to go to...
I warmed them up for you, Bjork.
I'm going to go to that square right there, because that square is not immediately on top of a boulder that may or may not be a monster.
All right.
So then Klaus will come with me.
Yeah, so just for future reference, of your size or smaller refers to your size class, not your specific weight.
Oh, then fuck that. I'll take Bjork. If I can take Bjork, I'll just make him carry me piggyback again and create a dimension door and poof.
I like the idea that you just had this whole conversation with Klaus and then you teleported yourself and Bjork. Yeah.
Sorry, Klaus, I didn't know it would work with the big guy.
I'll let you retcon your targets, but not your conversation.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
This throws my strategy astray.
So you and me all the way, Klaus.
So me and Bjork. So now life's easier.
What happens to the end of the rope that Bjork was holding?
Oh no!
That is a metaphysical question.
I think Bjork would probably drop it before he goes.
I think he's full of shit.
Even if you don't, it drops. We're not going to go into the weird esotericness of fucking rope passing through space to arrive at another point. No.
Bjork is going to look back at Klaus and be like, well, that would probably work better for you than me.
Probably.
He's dexterous.
And as... So Fandango and Bjork, both of you roll me perceptions real quick.
17.
9.
Bjork, you hear a sound like cracking stone. And as that brings us back to the top of the initiative, I think that's a good place to leave off the game for this week. But as you all know, do not worry, we're not done just yet. Joe's been over there on the facebook.com/authorsanddragons doing our live blog and collecting your questions, waiting for the opportune moment that has not arrived quite yet. Because before that, we go over to the Discord associated with our Patreon, patreon.com/AuthorsAndDragons. because their questions get to go first, because that's just how Patreon works. So, Rick, what do we have over in the Discord this week?
All right. Tonight we start, well, before we start off, just remember to like and subscribe wherever you're listening to A&D, and leave us a nice review while you're there.
Yeah.
And that said, we move over. Our friend Queen Crush 1227 asks, can I get a fuck you for all the very nice Discord people? Everyone on the channel is so nice and supportive. I think they really deserve one.
Fuck you, nice and supportive Discord people.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Fuck you, you amazing community.
Fuck you and the money you give us.
Fuck you all twice, I'd say.
Fuck you and your continued support.
Now that's a bum bang for your buck.
Fuck you with a Dremel.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, now that Drew knows what a Dremel is, he's really disturbed by that.
Oh, y'all think that description informed people what a Dremel is?
Yeah, he succeeded in telling them what a Dremel wasn't.
I think we got through that description, and people would be like, I have no fucking idea, and then they'd Google Dremel.
Or just immediately ordered one. I'm going to be disappointed when it arrives. Or put into intensive care.
Why not? And both.
And by the way, that fuck you includes you, Corey, who asked for a fuck you but didn't really give us a reason for one. But since you're on the Discord...
Yeah, fuck you.
There you go.
So, moving on. Our friend Aaron Tiggy asks one that is topical for the date. What is your favorite Valentine's Day candy?
I don't know. I like Lindor chocolate, but then again, sometimes I just like to eat that. It's not really Valentine's Day specific. Do you guys have those? Do you guys have love hearts in America? Those little candy hearts that are just basically colored sugar with some kind
that have stupid shit written on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't really read it that much, and it doesn't matter anyway because you just put like 10 in your mouth at once. I'll go for them.
Yeah, I like those.
I was going to say, there's different kinds of those, and I don't like the ones that taste like sidewalk chalk, but I do like the ones that taste like Smarties.
I like the sidewalk chalk.
Yeah, I like the bad candy hearts. I know they're a joke, but I do. I like them.
You know, I'll say screw spending like, you know, extra money on like, you know, Thanksgiving candy. You know, if you want to get me something nice, and I still blame Steve for this, get me an import of wine gums.
Now, y'all heard him say Thanksgiving candy, right?
Yeah, that's how Rick. That's what they get in Jersey for Valentine's Day. Is it's leftover Halloween candy repackaged and rebranded as Thanksgiving candy, and every distributor says, "Fuck you, it's Jersey. You can have that shit in February."
Well, serious stuff was going to be, "What the fuck is Thanksgiving candy?"
And yet, I just created this entire industry.
We should rebrand Valentine's.
The only gravy thing that jumps to mind is Turkish Delight.
No, they give us any shitty leftover Valentine's hearts.
In fucking November? That's really leftover.
It's Valentine's hearts, but they taste like gravy and gelatinized cranberry sauce.
Oh, didn't Jones Soda make like a... yeah, a six pack that was a flavored turkey dinner.
Yes, and I tried it one year,
and it went exactly as expected.
I'm kind of jealous.
So the cranberry soda is pretty good, and all the rest of it might as well be just like some hobo puking in a bottle.
So it sounds like the answer to what Rick's favorite Valentine's Day candy is the Jones six pack turkey dinner soda
or hobo puke.
I'll give a free hardcover to the first person who brings him a six pack of that shitty Jones Thanksgiving dinner soda to Authors and Dragons Con.
And I'll try them all because I'm genuinely curious.
I'm going to go with gummy bears. It's not traditionally Valentine's Day candy, but anyone who loves me knows what I want.
Geez. I'm a pretty classic box of chocolates guy. I like the, particularly the caramel ones. Chocolate and caramel can't miss.
I'm too greedy to really appreciate a box of chocolates. It's like, I appreciate the variety, you know, like a really fancy box of chocolates. Like, oh, they're all different and all special in their own way. Oh, nom, 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 nom.
I love the ones that have a lot of chocolate and that have coconut in them, because my wife hates coconut, so that's the only way I get chocolate.
That's the only reason people like chocolate coconut. It's my strategy too. Oh yeah, I love the coconut ones. I love the fact there's a huge amount of them left and no one else is touching them.
Yeah, yeah. Like my wife likes Mounds and Almond Joy only because I think nobody else would touch those.
That's a survival trait. You gotta
let us know on the Facebook or on like the coconut. Discord. Oh, I knew Bevan would be the outlier. If there's any other outliers out there, or do we all just like that chocolate because no one else does?
Have you just trained yourself to like it because it was available?
Yeah.
No, it's like those. My favorite Girl Scout cookie is that one with the coconut shit on top.
S'mores, man. S'mores cookies. It's like they mashed a cookie together and made it with black tar heroin.
Yeah, those are good.
We're talking about Valentine's Day candy.
Yeah. Then we started talking about Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, yeah, we really didn't, but yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Just give us food.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of rabbit holes, our friend F.U. Mark, by the way, F.U. Mark, asks, what is the last internet rabbit hole you fell down while researching a project?
I thought he was going to ask us our favorite way to fuck a rabbit.
What was the question?
Weirdly enough, that is the last internet rabbit hole I fell down.
I mean, if you fell down the rabbit hole, that would imply that it was a pretty large fucking rabbit you're trying to bang.
Or a slutty one.
Well, that's only fair, I suppose. I think the last one I did was for Shingles, Valley of the Sex Dolls, and I learned a surprising amount about robotics that I didn't end up using.
Oh God!
Usually the ones I fall down are whenever I need like a new monster or like, you know, creature in one of my series. What I like to do is I like to find, like, depending on where it's taking place, I like to find a local legend for that place, and then try to bastardize it for my own use. And whenever I start going looking for like local legends of monsters, I like look up and it's like 5 hours later, and I'm looking like it's. It's like, oh, and this creature, like, you know, eats unborn children, you know, in like, you know, in deepest, like, you know, Botswana, which has nothing to do with where my story is taking place.
You know, it's honestly, I don't think it was for research, but God knows it might have been. I have a weird internet Wikipedia hole habit of falling down, looking up like the synopsis of old or obscure horror movies, like. Shit that I'm not going to take the time to seek out and sit down through, but I'm curious enough to know, what the fuck was this weird cover about? And I can drop a truly embarrassing amount of time just going through those.
Yeah, mine's old TV actors. Like when I'll see somebody in a show I'm currently watching that looks vaguely familiar, and it eats at me until I look it up, and then it's, oh yeah, there's that guy from that show from 30 years ago. I wonder what he's doing nowadays.
Let's see, the last like earnest rabbit hole I fell down as I was doing research for this. I was doing research on medieval Germany, and I found out I fell down this hole of reading about universities in like the free cities, and the funny thing that I happened upon was one of the most commonly armed class of people in these cities was university students, to the point that there was a massive problem with hyper-violent duels breaking out over like small academic disagreements.
And I wouldn't say that's historical.
At one point, the city of, I think it was Augsburg, tried to pass a law to disarm their students, and their students rioted and trashed the city for 2 weeks.
Well, it was academic debate. Wow. Like, I propose this law. Well, I propose I stab you in the gut.
There was also a really big problem they had with city guards trying to pawn their weapons while they were on watch. This guy would just there's a record of a guy who was arrested because he was on guard duty, and he took his halberd and his lantern and he immediately tried to pawn them for booze.
I mean, I get the point. It's like there's an X amount of chance that I might need my weapon today, but there's 100% chance I want to get drunk. So.
All right, should we mosey on over to the Facebook and see what those folks are wondering about?
Sure.
Sure.
All right, let's see here. Our friend Zoe says, could I possibly get a fuck you from my friend Justin who got me into your podcast? And if you had to put three things into a summoning circle to summon your character, what would those three things be? So, I mean, fuck you, Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wait, do we need to...
Fuck you, Justin.
Fuck you, Justin.
Yeah, fuck you, Justin.
Fuck you, Justin.
Fuck you, Justin.
We can only handle one thing at a time. If you give us two tasks, everyone just fucking errors out.
The second one is the classic three things in a summoning circle to summon your character. What would they be?
Ooh. A brand new guitar. And Henry Cavill and Angelina Jolie. That'll get Fandango there.
Was there a character or us?
Your character.
Oh. Probably the same. A case of Bud Light, a box of chicken wings, and another box of chicken wings.
You realize I said your character, not you, right?
I said it's probably the same.
A flower crown, a sword, and probably a cute little animal.
So lunch.
I mean, maybe.
Everything is nature, man. The bunny eats the flowers, the barbarian eats the bunny.
Yeah.
The barbarian poops the bunny. Flowers grow in poop.
To do my most recent NPC of Hungra, crystals, crystals, and more crystals. Not a complex man.
Very not a complex man.
Yeah, I don't think you need a summoning circle for Silas. Just point at somebody and scream sinner.
Yeah, pretty basic for Brandon too. Just three mirrors facing each other.
No protein shakes?
That can wait.
Our friend Casey says, A&D con idea, Jane's versus A&D family feud. Thoughts?
Mm. Yeah, I kind of do too.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't
know, family feud.
And if we wanted to see that, where would we go, John?
Well, first, you would go to authorsanddragons.com, and then you would click the A&D con link, where you can buy your tickets. There are two separate tiers of tickets this year. You can buy your tickets there, and then click on through and make your hotel reservations for Charlotte, North Carolina in mid-August. So come on down and see if we decide to feud with our families.
I don't know what Family Feud is.
Really?
Well, you, sir, have some YouTube homework.
Yeah, that's got to be all over the internet.
I think I've only ever seen it as a meme.
That's kind of the whole show.
Yeah, you pretty much know.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great, I hate homework.
Sure. All right, let's see here. Our friend Crystal says, name a cocktail after your character. What's in it?
We'll call it Penance. It's two shots of Everclear and, like, you know, the rest dirty dishwater.
For Bjorg, I'm going to say mix some mead of choice with Baron Jaeger honey liquor, and let's just call it the Northman.
Fandango's going to need something real fruity and purple. And we're going to call it the purple insert noun here eater.
I guess Klaus will have the swimming seed, and it'll just be a couple of drops of milk and a glass of vodka.
That's so disturbing.
I'm just unbelievably uncomfortable thinking about that.
For Hungro, I'll say the crystal clear. It's part Everclear and part rock and rye, which is a rye whiskey that has rock candy dissolved in it. So weirdly appropriate.
Yeah. That's very thematic.
I thought it was going to be a shot of Everclear poured in a Zima.
Nope, Hunger's classier than that, it turns out.
Depends on how many crystals he's eaten today.
Very fair. Very fair.
If Hungra is hungry, he might be having Everclear in a Zima.
He might be having a piss shoe cocktail.
I think Brandon's cocktail would be a virgin Just a virgin. Yeah, he's got a virgin.
All right. Our friend Justin says, asks, what event in the Winter Olympics would your character compete in, and how well would they do?
It's got to be snowboarding for Brandon. I can just see that. That just makes a lot of sense.
That does feel right.
Yeah.
He'd probably do extremely well. He'd probably do it shirtless.
I'm going to go with figure skating for Klaus, and then he'll fall through the ice.
Bjorg is going to do one-man luge. Because with his size and weight, he'd just be a fucking human torpedo. And I think he'd do okay, but I don't think he would stop at the end of the track.
Yeah, I think Bjorg would think he was doing a one-man luge, and then he'd end up being luged down, ridden by a purple half-elf.
Oh, God.
You say it like it's the first time that's happened.
There's one event, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically kind of combines cross-country skiing, I think, with skeet shooting.
Biathlon.
Biathlon. All right, biathlon. So, yeah, Silas would probably do that, and then get immediately disqualified as he starts shooting at, like, the bystanders.
I mean, you do compete in the biathlon with a rifle, not a shotgun, so... could happen.
You're relying on the fact that Silas is there in an official capacity, which he most surely isn't.
He just shows up and starts skiing and shooting at people.
The event starts, and then Silas starts running up the hill and shooting all of the competitors as they come down.
Yeah, what event would Silas be best at? Mobilizing security.
For hunger, I'll say curling. Rocks on ice, baby.
Yeah, kind of writes itself, doesn't it?
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us on Authors and Dragons. We will be back next week with a side quest or a Salty Bastards or some other thing that we don't know about yet, because that's in the future and shit is wild. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back with another of these episodes. But until then, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to those who created it, which is us, the people you just heard play the game. Opening and closing themes performed by the Gore Core 4.
Authors and Dragons!
I'm in a pickaxe kind of mood.